Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits today. We're so excited to have a couple of wonderful guests with us. I think you're going to really enjoy these topics. The first one up is Troy Anderson, and he is the author of, I hope I can say this, Troy, Trumpocalypse?
That's right.
All right, I got it. The End Times President, A Battle Against the Globalist Elite and the Countdown to Armageddon. And this is a follow-up book, right, to another big book that you sold.
It's the second book in the series. The first one was The Babylon Code.
The Babylon Code. And now we have Trumpocalypse. And so you co-authored that, right?
Yeah, my co-author's Paul McGuire. He used to have the nationally syndicated Paul McGuire show, and you may have seen him on the History Channel here about several years back on Countdown to Armageddon or something like that.
Right. And so, boy, I know you can hardly wait to hear what Trumpocalypse means, so we're going to get to that in a minute. And then next up, I think an extremely important, just critical topic today, we have Kristen Jensen, and she's the author of Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. Kids can learn to reject pornography, and actually there's Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior. So you got a couple different books, Kristen, and really this is about helping children through a maze that we didn't see as kids, right?
That's right. No child deserves to face the porn industry alone. They need help from their parents, and they need open conversation, and they need to be empowered with a definition and a plan for what to do when they see it.
Right. And this book, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, we have here in front of me is really outstanding and just something that, could impact generations and generations, this discussion that you could have with your children. And so we're going to get all into that. But, it is Kingdom Pursuits, and so you might reckon that Robbie was going to do a riddle. So I was thinking about this Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, and I thought, well, it's kind of like looking. So speaking of looking, and sometimes the computer is not doing what it should do. So I set it up beautifully, Rachel. Speaking of looking, there it is. I just looked up the word Trumpocalypse in the dictionary, and it was quite a revelation. Just saying. The church insisted on a new seminary graduate. Of course, they would only go with a new seminary graduate because they were looking for greener pastors. Have you heard of that? That's pretty good, don't you think? I thought that was good. And my wife's been trying to find a rope tying class. She's been looking and looking and looking. I told her she might look for a not-for-profit organization. Okay. So I got a little chuckle out of somebody there. All right. And I don't know if you thought about this, but when a snail loses its shell, it looks sluggish. I'm just saying. So you knew at the end of those shenanigans, we'd actually have a riddle. You can call in and win today. Either your choice of the Trumpocalypse books or Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Junior, or the regular book, which I have in front of me. All you have to do is answer this question. Whose disciple went looking when he accidentally sunk his axe head and learned the prophet taught him some axioms on floating iron? Whose disciple went looking when he accidentally sunk his axe head and later learned from the prophet who taught him some axioms on floating iron? And if you can guess that riddle, Rachel, tell them what they'll win.
Well, they can win a copy of Good Pictures, Bad Pictures by Kristen Jensen, or they can win Trumpocalypse.
Oh, you said it good.
Thank you.
That's really, really good. Troy, Do a lot of people, you've probably done lots of interviews, do a lot of people struggle with saying Trumpocalypse?
You're one of the few that can pronounce it. Perhaps it's because you have good riddles.
Well, Rachel really just jumped on out there, right? With first shot, just perfect. So anyway, I think that it's a great observation just in the title that, you know, here you have a president, and of course, we got lots we could say one side or the other about him, and I'm sure everybody listening has all sorts of opinions, because there's one thing you don't find too many people are just neutral on President Trump. But one thing's for certain, he doesn't owe anybody anything, which puts him in sort of a unique place as far as presidents go, and really since the Roosevelts.
Yeah, he's definitely our first politically incorrect president, and I think that's one reason why, you know, at least half the country likes him is, you know, he's willing to, you know, stand up and you know, confront the establishment, confront the, you know, the powers that be, and that's endeared him to much of the country. But, you know, of course, yeah, he is very controversial.
So as you guys are obviously with the Babylon Code looking into end times and, you know, those kind of things, what was one of those things that jumped out at you that made you think, well, I got to write a book about this?
Yeah, so the Babylon Code was an expose of globalism. You know, in the Bible, there's Revelation 17:18. It talks about mystery Babylon and Babylon the Great. And Bible scholars have puzzled over what the Apostle John was referring to for 2,000 years. And there's all kinds of theories on what that was. So that Babylon Code explores that great mystery. And then also, it's an investigative book, you know, expose of globalism, these powerful behind-the-scenes forces that are, you know, that, you know, as we reveal in this book, that largely control our world. And then that book came out in 2015. And then President Trump, you know, started to emerge from the pool of Republican candidates. And he ran on a campaign of Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. And it stunned us because, I mean, we never had a president that had challenged, you know, the globalists before. And President Trump was actually running on a campaign against the globalists, you know, against the New World Order or whatever you want to call it. And when he won, it's stunned the whole world. You know, the day after the election, I remember Franklin Graham posted on his Facebook page that the God factor, the media and the pundits, they didn't take into account the God factor in this whole election. And now we had this, you know, this bombastic, you know, billionaire president that had challenged some of the most powerful people in the world, and was now the leader of the free world.
Yeah, and when I was thinking about that mystery Babylon, I couldn't help but think of your topic, Kristen, that when I think of what Babylon stands for, especially in the end times, we're kind of facing that with this tragic, tragic, tragic thing that all our children are being just pummeled with right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, you see that the prophecies for the end times are, you know, talk about the plagues, right?
Right.
And I believe the plague of pornography is one of the darkest, most, far-reaching. It reaches to every little village in the outback of Australia. And, you know, everywhere these kids are getting this toxic material, and it's hurting their brains, and it's hurting their view of you know, what the purpose of sex is all about, and it's hurting their futures.
And so, wow, I've it's fascinating to me that, well, we were going to go to a break since we got Ramona in Walnut Cove may know the answer to our riddle, but it is fascinating to me, and what a challenge to go out and write a book to come up against this. And this, I mean, may be one of the battles of all battles, is good pictures, bad pictures. So we're going to be hearing a lot more from Kristen, more from Troy Anderson on Trumpocalypse, and find out the answer to this riddle when we come back. Stay tuned. Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today, two warriors for the kingdom, really. Christian Jensen, author of Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Kids Can Learn to Reject Pornography. Wow, that's encouraging. That gives me hope. I you know, anybody that looks at the internet hardly at all wonders how in the world can they navigate that. And then we have Troy Anderson, author of Trumpocalypse, The End Times President, A Battle Against the Globalist Elite, and The Countdown to Armageddon. So, wow, what a fun time. But right now we have Ramona is in Walnut Cove. She's got to answer to our riddle. Ramona, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to hear your voice.
Before I give you the answer, too, I just wanted to say thank you for your programs. We've enjoyed, we enjoy from 7 o'clock on in the morning listening, and it's just been a blessing to us. So,
and thank
let me give you the
thank
answer.
You. Yeah, well, I got to tell you, it's just so much fun to have this. I feel like, well, how lucky am I that I get to, you know, share with my audience all the stuff that God gives me, like these great warriors today. So, yes, give me my answer. What? Who was this?
Oh, it's Elisha, and I wish I had some real snappy little sideline that, you know, he learned how to float iron or something like that, you know. something.
Yeah, he didn't have any irons in the fire, that's for sure.
There we go.
But I have always been fascinated with the way people say that Elijah, and I think you may have said it better, Ramona, than I've ever heard it said. Say it again for us one more time, because it's always a tricky thing for me to figure out the difference between Elijah and how did you say it?
Elisha.
Isn't that wonderful? Rachel, doesn't she say that great? We should have had the recording so that I learn how to say it like that.
Well, I am a stickler for saying people's names the way they want it said. Like, there's this guy that's running for president. He's called Mayor Pete. No. And nobody seems to know how to pronounce his name. And I wanted to shout at the radio, just ask him.
Yeah.
And it's a weird sounding. It's like from the old country name and all. But I have yet to find out how he says his own name.
Well, so I just got a great piece of advice. And I often have people's names that I'm looking. And so that's the answer. Just how do you pronounce it? And we'll just keep listening, try to make it right.
Well,
thank you for listening so much, Ramona. Thank you for calling in today. God bless.
Well, you're so welcome, and God bless you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. Wow. Now we have a little clearer understanding on Elisha. So, Kristen, this problem just kind of seems to, the idea of how prevalent pornography is on the internet today is beyond my wildest imagination of anything I could have ever dreamed of. I get publicists send me information all the time, and they often send me YouTube videos, but apparently whatever that person was looking on YouTube before they, you know, hooked up with their YouTube that they're sending me, I get a look at what kind of stuff they look at on YouTube. And like, oh my gosh, how could they even, and I have all the restrictions on YouTube that I could possibly have, and I'm looking at these, and I'm like, what in the world? How in the world could a child possibly, in today's environment, with YouTube and all the different things that my granddaughter goes on YouTube constantly. How could they get there without at some time being exposed to it? Is that even possible?
Yeah, because, I don't think so. The porn industry is very predatory, and they're on YouTube Kids. They try to get lifelong customers from a very young age. So parents that are parenting in the digital age must be very intentional about warning children about pornography. And that's why, you know, because it can have devastating effects. Children are watching pornography. They're imitating what they see in pornography on other children. So the rate of child-on-child sexual abuse is just skyrocketing. It's a topic nobody wants to talk about.
I'm sure.
But it's hurting children. They're becoming addicted. There are studies showing that the marriage rate is going down because of pornography. So there's just so much devastation. The divorce rate is, 60% of divorces.
One of the questions that just kind of grabbed me in one of the chapters of your book, and I think is very courageous, is to ask your child, have you seen, obviously you wrote the book on it, but how would you ask that question? You got a 5 or 6 year old child. You're going to say, have you seen something when you're looking on the internet that looked, should you ask that question?
So the first thing you need to do is to give children, as soon as they have any interaction with the internet, is to give children a basic, simple, age-appropriate definition of pornography so that they can recognize it when they see it. So in my books, I say pornography means pictures or videos or even cartoons of people with little or no clothing on that focus on the private parts of the body that we keep covered with a swimsuit. And so that's very basic, and it really is nudity. But I mean, I don't think all nudity is pornography, but for a child, you have to keep it simple. You're not going to have a nuanced discussion, right? So you just give them a simple definition. Then you help them understand that it's harmful to them and that they need to come and tell you when they see it. So in our junior book, it's the turn, run, and tell plan. So again, give kids a definition, help them to understand how pornography is harmful, and 3, give them a plan for what to do when they see it. And when parents open up this discussion, it makes it easier for kids to begin that discussion with them.
Yeah, yeah. So I like that. A simple definition. So Troy, I'm thinking that for a lot of us, it would be really helpful, and I like to turn and run. But anyway, a simple definition of a globalist, because I can see that as we're discussing, this is really where we could use some clarity on what, how the culture sold us on this idea of globalism.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of different terms that are used to sort of hide the real agenda. So, a globalist is somebody, at one level. I mean, there's these, very powerful, usually very wealthy people. Sometimes they're connected to secret societies and foundations and things like that. And many of them have a pure motive. They want to bring the world together. It's part of the John Lennon's vision of imagine there's no heaven, imagine there's no hell, all people coming together. Or even in my ancestor Friedrich von Schiller's poem, Ode to Joy, about the brotherhood of man. And so this has been a longing of humanity since, the Tower of Babel, to bring the whole world together. So it's promoted as, we can get rid of nuclear weapons, we can address global poverty, we can address climate change, and we can save the planet. And so, polls show that the kids are, or young people are, pretty much in line with this. Over 50% of kids now favor socialism. Socialism is sort of like the hip thing now, and socialism is a path towards globalism. That's sort of the ultimate agenda, is to bring the whole world together. But the problem with this is that the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, warns that the Antichrist will at some point come to power and will exploit these sort of naive hopes of humanity. The Bible tells us we're born with a sin nature, just like, she's talking about here. And the devil uses all these temptations and things like that to deceive us. And so there's this great deception that's going on in the world, and globalism is a part of this, because ultimately the Bible tells us the Antichrist and false prophet will essentially create a global totalitarian government. And we see, all the signs that we're heading in this direction. So our two books, explore this whole phenomenon.
Yeah. And so as, you know, as you get a definition of what that looks like, and as a globalist, you know, what would you hope that the that is results from understanding what it means?
Yeah, part of the reason why we wrote this book is we wanted to, you know, enlighten or educate people on just the threat that this whole movement poses, and all the different organizations that are involved in this. You know, the media is involved in this, governments around the world, think tanks, foundations, all kinds of different political groups, and many large corporations, and you know, so part of the idea is that, you know, the Bible talks about exposing the works of darkness, and so that's part of what we're doing. And you know, in these books, you know, I've interviewed over 150 faith leaders, Bible scholars, experts in geopolitics, economic science, intelligence, military. You know, I interviewed Billy Graham, and you know, he told me that signs of the end of the age are converging for the first time since Jesus made those predictions. So all these faith leaders, Bible scholars, believe we're in the run-up to the end time events predicted in the Bible.
All right. Well, we want to mention that you can find both these books at KingdomPursuits.com. If you go to KingdomPursuits.com, you can see both Trumpocalypse and Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, as well as both their websites and information. It's all there at KingdomPursuits.com. When we come back, more. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we are so blessed to have with us Troy Anderson, the author of Trumpocalypse, and Kristen Jensen, the author of Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Kids Can Learn to Reject Pornography. And we just got our other guest, and apparently we had a little miscue on what time she was going to be here, but she's in the studio with us. We have Martha Dobson, and she is the author of Be Encouraged.
Yes.
And boy, after hearing about the Trumpocalypse and all the, you know, struggles with children, I mean, unfortunately, these warriors are out there battling these things, but it's a good time to be encouraged, Martha. So tell us what inspired you in your book.
God gave me the same dream three times, and he told me to write a book, call it Be Encouraged, and put the stories of his people in the book to encourage others. It is a it's a women's devotional book that has 31 true stories of women who've overcome the obstacles in their lives through God's intervention and grace. And it also has a workbook. So with the workbook, it can be turned into a Bible study. I am doing a Bible study at our church with this book, and it's been very powerful because the devotions address so many of the issues that women deal with. It could be fear. It could be just needing encouragement. It could be abuse, addiction, discouragement, whatever a woman's going
Globalization,
through.
Globalization, as we found out from our earlier guest. So I'm curious, when you look at the title, when you look at the cover of the book.
Yes.
You know, when you look at the cover of Trumpocalypse, it looks like, you know, Trumpocalypse, that's what it looks like. And when you look at Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, you can see a young man that's fortunately turning away from what's on his tablet there. But your says Be Encouraged, and it's a guy with balloons. So well, is this come from the end of Mary Poppins this time?
No. The lady that shared this testimony with me, her husband had just lost his father, and he was grieving the loss, and he prayed, and he said, you know, God, I just don't know if my dad made it to heaven or not. Would you give me a sign? And he was working outside one day, and you know how balloons with helium just go up?
Oh, yeah.
Normally. Well, this one defied gravity and came straight down, eye to eye, and the writing on it said, having a great time, wish you were here.
Really?
And he had his answer. And so many of the stories in this book.
Be encouraged.
Yes.
I'm encouraged right there. So down comes the balloon.
And so
have
many
you
of
seen
this...
the end of the new Mary Poppins movie?
Yes.
And it seems it's like, man, they read your book.
So, well, so many of these stories have miracles in them.
So Troy, you know, I hope you're encouraged by the balloon story. Are you there with me,
you
Troy?
Know, that is that is very encouraging. In fact, you know, that there is even though there's many dangers and threats, and you know, all these experts told us that we're in the run up to these end time events. There's actually very encouraging and inspirational news that we include Trumpocalypse with. So we can talk about that too.
Yeah, I would love to hear that. You interviewed, you said, over 100 different leaders. Which one gave you something that you were just like, oh, man, I'm encouraged now? What was that?
Yeah, so Billy Graham told me that he compared America to ancient Nineveh, and he said that when God sent the prophet Jonah to Nineveh to warn them of impending judgment, that the king and the people repented. And Billy Graham told me that he believed the same thing can happen again in our time here in America. And so in the Babylon Code, my co-author Paul, he had a vision in which he believed that the Lord had showed him that it was like from a perspective up like a satellite, and he could see the lights slowly coming across America, and all these lights, like churches lighting up across the nation. And so we've talked about that, and we call people to repentance. That's the message throughout the Bible. It's the message of Jesus and all the prophets, is, you know, when the Israelites would stray away from God, God would call them back and to repentance. And then in Trumpocalypse, we conclude Trumpocalypse with a call from a minister, a friend of ours. His name's Kevin Jessup. He's founder of the Global Strategic Alliance, and he's been working with the White House and Israel on a national and global day of repentance, and he's actually had amazing success.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I heard about that at the NRB. I was at last week. Yeah, they are talking. They are definitely talking about that. But I want to get to Kristen real quick. Kristen, you know, in your title, it actually says that kids can learn to reject pornography. Have you actually seen the results of that, where kids were rejecting it, that you felt like, wow, God, you really did show me something that would help?
Absolutely. That's the encouraging thing. When you teach children what pornography is and what to do when they see it, they do it. They, especially young children, they will come and tell you and let you know what they saw, you know, who they were with. And I've heard many stories. I'll just tell you one 9-year-old boy, his mother read him Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, and it is a read-aloud book so that you can read it to kids even before you have the birds and bees talk with them. And this young boy went to school. A few days later, another child with a mobile device at school, a phone or a pad, iPad, showed him pornography. And he came home, he told his mom, and he says, Mom, I was scared, but I knew what to do. And when we give children the information they need and the warning they need, then they can respond and come and tell us, and we can then mentor them through their childhood so that they can protect their brain and their heart and their soul and their future from pornography. And that's a very hopeful message.
Go ahead.
We have over 565 reviews on Amazon for Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. And one of the most common statements that people make is that this book made it comfortable for parents to talk about this uncomfortable topic. And so the book really is a wonderful way, it's a wonderful tool to help parents have this discussion and open this conversation so that then they can empower their children, because you can never shelter your children enough in this world. You need to kind of inoculate them
yeah.
and give them, you know, help.
So when that little boy said, "But I knew what to do," what did he know what to do? What did he do?
So in the original book, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Pornproofing Today's Young Kids, in that original book, we have a can-do plan, and that stands for C, close your eyes, A, always tell a trusted adult, because it's the secrecy that begins to form a wedge between a parent and a child, and then N, name it when you see it. So kids say, that's pornography, and then they go and tell their parents, which is in the junior book, it's the turn, run, and tell, very simple plan. But we also, in the book for 7 to 11-year-olds, that book gives kids a plan and help for when those memories come popping back up in their mind. It's very shocking to see these images and videos, and so they learn also what to do when the memories come back so they can minimize those memories and kind of forget what they've seen. And so these are skills that every child needs to have.
That's encouraging, right? So we're going to be back in a moment with more Be Encouraged with Martha Dobson. Her book, like a Trumpocalypse and the Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, all that stuff, is at kingpursuits.com. You go there, click on that, then go back. Just like she said, make sure and review it on Amazon. Really helps other people know about the books. Right now, go to kingpursuits.com, and wow, what a... Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we have a whole host of like poster children for that subject today. We have Troy Anderson, the author of Trumpocalypse, The End Times President, A Battle Against the Globalist Elite, and The Countdown to Armageddon. And we have also Kristen Jensen, author of Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Kids Can Learn to Reject Pornography, Have a Plan, all those kind of things. I loved hearing about that today. And we have Martha Dobson, and she is the author of Be Encouraged. EncouragingTheNations.com is her website. And, of course, all that information, as we mentioned, all those books, you can order them at KingdomPursuits.com and go to their websites, find out about their ministries, all those kind of things. And we would certainly encourage you to do that. Now, Martha, you have a book signing coming up.
Yes, I have two. One in Winston-Salem at Barnes & Noble a week from today from 3 to 5. And at Gigi's downtown Statesville during the art crawl from 5:30 to 8:30 next Friday.
And the thing that I wish I'd had time to get to this with everybody, but I want to get to it with you, because the idea behind Kingdom Pursuits always was there's all kinds of people out there that God's put an impression on their heart to do something about pornography or to do something about the globalism. And so he gives them a book, or he puts on your heart a dream, right?
Yes.
But just turning that into a book was no easy thing, right? I mean, it was a lot of work. And
4 years.
4 years.
Yes.
And how much prayer do you think?
Lots and lots of prayer. Calluses on my knees, because the Lord spoke to me and said, all the profits from the book go to build an orphanage in Uganda. I go every year to Uganda and minister in women's conferences. Last year, my husband went with a team and built the first two cottages for this orphanage. The first time I was in Uganda, our team prayed over a piece of land. We walked across the road, and Pastor Kawa, that we work with, asked three boys in a mud hut with a grass roof, "Where's your mom? We don't know. Where's your dad? Comes every month or two. What do you eat? These roots we dig from the ground." And it broke my heart.
So there you go.
And
well, Kristen, we don't have a lot of time left, but what's the one thing you wanted to make sure our listeners heard today about your book, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures?
Well, it's just, you know, kids deserve to have this warning, and we can do it. You know, it's not hard. You can start these conversations to empower children, and it makes a huge difference. When kids are caught off guard, they are often, you know, enticed, and even good kids will follow their curiosity and maybe even peer pressure. So if they're not caught off guard, if they have a plan and they know that they have their family behind them and their parents behind them, they can learn to reject pornography and have a much happier life. I also felt very called by God to write this, and it took me 3 years. And I really hope and see that it is becoming a force for good and a tool that parents can use to help them begin and continue these conversations that are so empowering for children.
Now, I'm just, my hat's off to all three of you. Because, wow, I know that there was something that all kinds of stuff went into that. And I would imagine Satan was none too glad about your book coming on the scene there, Kristen.
Well, I definitely felt in the crosshairs, and I still do. And so I always appreciate prayers from everyone as we continue this effort on our website, protectyoungminds.org. We have a lot of free guides and other helps for parents to keep them educated and empowered.
Yeah, fervent prayers, I would imagine, for all three of our guests today.
Absolutely.
And Troy, I'm curious about your next project. What do you feel God putting on your heart now?
Well, this after Trapocalypse came out, this U.S. Army chaplain and colonel got a hold of me, and he feels that God has called him to help wake up the church to unfolding end times events. So I'm helping him write a book called The Army Guide to Armageddon. In fact, he just got invited to speak at West Point on the end times.
Really?
And he's being invited to speak at churches all over the country now. And then we've actually got seven film producers, including some major ones that are interested in turning the Babylon Code and Trapocalypse into films or TV series. So we're actually meeting with one on Tuesday. So there's a growing likelihood that one or both of these books may become movies or TV series.
Wow. So what, when you were doing the Army Guide, I'm curious, from a military standpoint, what did you learn there?
Well, so this book combines the experiences and everything that this colonel and chaplain learned in over three decades in the military, and relates that to spiritual warfare. How do you train up an end times warrior of God? What are the spiritual disciplines that relate to military? And it turns out that at West Point, they study the life of King David, and King David
over
60 of the Bible's 90 battles. So
yeah. Wow. Well, we're so grateful for how God's put this passion on all three of your hearts, and the prayers that went into it, and now we can pray for you, Troy Anderson, Martha Dobson, and Kristen Jensen. You can find out all about them at kingdompursuits.com. Again, if God's putting this on your heart, it's taking you on quite an adventure, I can tell you, hasn't it, Martha?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So thank you for listening to Kingdom Pursuits.